Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. 3 years ago, Westchester County signed off on an agreement with the federal government and fair housing advocates who had sued over lack of affordable housing. But where is that housing? Maurice Jones, Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, wrote a recent op-ed in a Westchester paper, and he joins me now to explain why he thinks the county needs to be reminded that a deal's a deal. Deputy Secretary Jones, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
Let's go back a little bit and do some background for people who know or don't know or need to be reminded. The original agreement was signed off on because it looked likely that the county was going to lose the lawsuit and have to pay back federal money it had received while claiming to be in compliance with fair housing rules. That was before your time, but is it your understanding?
Yes, that is my understanding. In fact, there were two major federal court rulings against the county, and the county was facing a pretty difficult trial and the real possibility of paying a judgment of more than $150 million to the federal government. So you're absolutely right about that.
And the settlement with former county executive Democrat Andrew Spano had three elements: 750 units of affordable housing.
Correct.
The county had to promote a law to ban housing discrimination on source of income, and had to review local zoning rules against multifamily units. Can we go over those elements a little bit? What is this discrimination on source of income? What does that mean?
So that means we have found that some places have used source of income, meaning public benefit, vouchers, et cetera, as a proxy, if you will, to discriminate against families who are in need of housing. So they and this has historically been the case. And so what you've seen is that places throughout the country have passed these anti-discrimination ordinances or laws that prevent the county or the municipality from discriminating against families on the basis of their source of income. And so Nassau County passed a law in 2000. New York City passed the same law in about 2008. The state of New Jersey passed this kind of law in 2002. And the state of Vermont passed this kind of law back in 1987. So there are dozens of these laws on the books around the country.
And the county legislature did pass a law after
Absolutely.
This court agreement on source of income discrimination. But the new county executive, Republican Rob Astorino, vetoed it. And I guess his argument is that the county should just, you know, that private landlords should not be have their hands tied like that when determining somebody's creditworthiness, right?
You know, I'm not sure of his argument, and in fact, this kind of thing, we have not found that this ties the hands of landlords in anywhere where these laws are on the books. I haven't heard, frankly, of a single complaint that these kind of laws mandate landlords to accept, for example, Section 8 assisted family. That, in my mind, is a red herring. That's not what this is about. And back to your point, the Board of Legislators there locally approved this overwhelmingly, and this was the agreement that the county agreed to with us and others back in 2009. And so what happened was, once the Board of Legislators passed the legislation overwhelmingly, the county executive vetoed it. And our position is, you can't agree in the settlement to both promote the legislation and then veto it. That's a contradiction.
Well, he seems to be arguing a very interesting technicality, which is that the agreement required the legislature to pass this kind of law banning source of income discrimination, but it didn't require him to sign it as the executive.
Yeah, it's an interesting argument, not one that you, as you might imagine, that we find persuasive, to say the least, that you can agree to promote and veto simultaneously.
Yeah.
Is a contradiction in our
eyes. And the other big issue, the zoning regulations that have to do with zoning rules against multifamily units. You could see why people who live in single-family private home areas might not want apartment buildings popping up in their neighborhood by order of the government.
What I would say to you on that is what we've asked the county to do is to take a look at local ordinances that actually might be discriminatory in effect against, local firefighters, local teachers, local police officers, local emergency first responders. You know, these are the families that we are trying to work our hardest for to ensure that they have a fair opportunity to live and work in Westchester. And so what we've asked the county to do, and again, what the county agreed in the settlement to do, this was a joint endeavor, was to take a look at local zoning ordinances and give us an analysis of those zoning ordinances as to whether they do provide the opportunity for these families to live and work in Westchester.
Listeners,
and the county has not done that.
Westchester listeners, anybody want to chime in on this ongoing housing dispute between the county and the federal government? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Our special guest, Maurice Jones, the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. The federal government is withholding funds, more than $12 million, for the county of Westchester because Westchester is not being seen as in compliance with its own agreement to develop affordable housing. 212-433-9692. And Brian from Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello there. I'm just calling, and I used to live in Westchester and all, and I met this homeless man. And the reason he was homeless is because exactly what we are talking about the discrimination based on income, because he had very low income and was suddenly evicted without being, without any fair warning. And now he has to live a very homeless life and suffer to stay alive just because Westchester County doesn't wish to hold its bonds.
Brian, thank you very much. But, Secretary, do you think that in that case, and obviously we don't know the individual involved, that he would necessarily be helped by this? I mean, Westchester is a county of 1 million people, and all this agreement calls for is 750 units of affordable housing. I understand that a lot of it is middle-income housing, not low-income housing. So how much impact would this really have?
Yeah, I wouldn't focus on just those units. Again, the agreement that we're asking the county to uphold as part of the deal includes certainly those 750 units. It also, as you know, includes the, and I think this is what your caller is speaking to, it includes the legislation that bars folks from discriminating on the basis of source of income. The family that this gentleman, again, I don't know the facts, so I want to be very careful mm-hmm. here, but the family that this gentleman seems to be alluding to would be a family that we would want to be assisted through this legislation. Again, without knowing the facts, I want to be very careful, but I want to make sure that folks don't equate this deal here, if you will, with just the construction of these units.
Right.
The construction of these units is, a fourth of what we're talking about.
I'm glad you said that, and I guess it relates to the other two criteria that we were discussing before.
Correct.
The lack of discrimination.
Exactly.
And the ability for developers to place apartment buildings.
Exactly.
In more currently single-family home neighborhoods.
That's exactly right.
Jim in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
This is very politically incorrect, but I bought property here in the South Bronx in the 1990s because it was very affordable, and it was the right decision for me. But me and my neighbors are in constant fights, struggles with essentially low-income people, with graffiti, with litter, with noise, with antisocial behavior. And again, I know a lot of people are going to play the race card with this, but I'm black. And I sympathize with people who don't want a bunch of low-income people and the social problems that come with it moving in on them. I know that's not politically incorrect, but it is realistic.
So, Jim, is it fair to say that you wouldn't want to segregate yourself on the basis of race, but you do want the right to segregate yourself on the basis of income?
Well, in fact, we do. We don't accept people in this building who are in public assistance. I'm not going to tell you what the building is because I don't want to get sued because I didn't know it was against the law.
You don't have to give your address on the radio.
No, we're not going to accept that. No, absolutely not. When people come with Section 8 vouchers, they have to go somewhere else.
Jim, thank you. Secretary?
You know, I'm not sure how to respond to that. Our fight is against discrimination. And what we want is the ability of families to be able to have an equal opportunity to live in places that they can afford. The notion that graffiti and antisocial behavior or whatever is isolated to a population of a certain income or a population of a certain race, I must confess to you, I find that very offensive. And I certainly don't accept it. I know that those views are held, and I realize the reality of it. I will tell you, our cause is an equal opportunity for folks to be able to live and work where they're making a contribution to the community.
Here is Lisa Keller, a SUNY Purchase professor, calling in, who's been a guest on our show for her Encyclopedia of New York City. But Lisa, hi, you have a dog
hi,
in this
Brian.
You have a dog in this fight?
Yeah, no, actually I don't have a dog in this fight, except I'm on everybody's side, which may sound kind of strange. We need affordable housing in Westchester desperately, but I want to correct the government's position or expand it a little bit. Westchester County has tried for many, many years under County Executive Andy Spano to get this affordable housing in local communities. The county had no teeth to do this, but they tried through negotiation. And I could tell you private not-for-profit groups also tried desperately to get this, and local communities fought this tooth and nail. Even communities which have a large low-income population would have benefited, fought it. Now, it's also a little bit unfair for the government spokesperson to say that Westchester agreed to this. Westchester had a gun to its head in agreeing to this settlement and knew from the time the settlement was put in effect that it would have a very difficult time enforcing it.
So do you think, Lisa, that these are the wrong principles on which to go forward for affordable housing in Westchester? Unshackling the zoning to put apartment buildings where there are now only single-family homes and ending source of income discrimination?
The discrimination is certainly something that the necessity for affordable housing is pressing. There's no doubt about it. But you have to put it in the larger context of the entire way American housing and cities have been constructed, the way our towns and villages are run, which is with autonomy. And for us to change this means we need to change. I'm not saying we should or shouldn't do this. I'm saying in order to do what is being said now in this mandate, we have to change the system in which local communities have autonomy in decision-making and an outside body of some nature, either a government, a federal government, or somebody else is going to come in and say, you local community, Main Street America, cannot make your own decisions right about what you want to do.
And Lisa, I have to leave it there because we're going to run out of time. But Secretary Jones, you understand the impulse there on the basis of local communities.
I think it's an interesting point the caller makes, and I thank her for it. Let me just say that the county, though, isn't even using the tools that it has, right? And so, again, the county, the board of legislators overwhelmingly approved the source of income legislation, the anti-discrimination. All that had to be done there was for the county executive to also bless it. He vetoed it, right? So there is a huge tool that the county has that they were on the precipice of adopting, and boom, it was snatched away.
One interpretation that I've heard is that the county executive is protecting property owners who feel their property values would go down if developers are allowed to put apartment buildings in and among their single-family homes. Is that an illegitimate thing to protect?
It is a very antiquated view of what affordable housing actually is. You know, I think people have this notion of sort of right after World War II high rises as the conception of affordable housing. In fact, affordable housing looks like, particularly the affordable housing that developers are creating these days, looks like any other housing. You can't distinguish it. The notion that it actually inevitably leads to a decline in home values is just not it's not supported by fact.
We have 2 minutes left. I want to get you on two other things really quick.
Okay.
First, a certain former HUD secretary lives in Westchester County when he's not in Albany serving as the state's governor. Do you want Governor Cuomo to intervene in this dispute? Very briefly, does he have a role to play here, in your opinion?
No.
It's between the county and the federal government.
No, yeah. Well, it's not just the federal government. You know, there's a judge involved. There's a monitor involved. There's the county. We've already got enough players. What we need, this is not complicated. We need the county to uphold its deal.
And we
don't need any more intervention, if you will.
On a completely separate story, on yesterday's show, we spoke about the Daily News investigation into New York City's public housing authority's conduct. And even Mayor Bloomberg has agreed they're not doing the job they need to when it comes to repairs. Last week, HUD announced a grant of over $700,000 to support self-sufficiency programs. Are you concerned with the management of that grant being what we've learned about the New York City Housing Authority?
You mean the grant to New York City?
Correct.
Yeah, you know, I would rather not get into that here, especially if we got a minute left. So I'll defer that for another show, though, if you'd like.
All right, we would love to have you back.
Okay.
And I will mention that we will talk on tomorrow's show to the New York City Housing Authority Chairman, Rhea, to follow up on that. But in the meantime, you're withholding $12.6 million in community development block grants for Westchester until you can get this settled, right?
I would characterize it in a different way, that if the county upholds its deal, that money will come.
Maurice Jones, Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me be with you.